House of Bob is made possible in part by Calgary, Alberta's own Legend 7 Brewing and by support from listeners like you. To pledge your support, visit patreon.com/houseofbobcast. If you'd like to come see us at some of the events we're going to be at this year, get your pen and pencil ready for the dates. We are going to be at COVACON on Friday, April 12th at the Florence Filburg in Comox Valley, British Columbia, the Panel One Comic Creator Festival in Calgary on Saturday, June 1st, and at DinoCon in Drumheller, Friday, August 24th and 25th. We really hope that you guys can come and see us. Some of us will be at any of those events, and you can get us to bless your dice.
For money.
Last time on House of Annihilation, the party narrowly escapes the four four-armed gargoyles, leaving their fallen friends Horik and Orvex behind in the central chamber of the Tomb of the Nine Gods. However, the hapless heroes went from the frying pan and into the fire as they find themselves now in a maze of death.
Hello, I'm Jake, and I'm playing as Krait, a doomsaying disciple of Dendar the Night Serpent.
I'm Dan. I'll be playing Liani, Liana Servana, the Elf Beastmaster, with my little buddy Hamlet.
I'm Christina, and I play Douglas, the now harrowed Ganassi wizard who is looking to save his family's legacy.
And I'm Sean, your dungeon master. Thanks for joining us, and roll on! You want me to roll this saving throw?
We've been waiting 2 weeks for it.
We've been waiting 2 weeks for me to roll this saving throw just to see if this creature is going to fall over into a puddle of mud.
That I can at least have a laugh before I die.
You could pants him.
Does it roll at the beginning of its turn or at the end of its turn?
That's a good question.
Can you double check that for me? Because if it rolls right now, that changes my plan.
You had a whole 2 weeks to think about this. It's not
your
my fault.
Spell. I don't look at your character sheets much.
Do you?
No.
That's what I thought.
It says when a creature enters the area or ends its turn.
Ends its turn. All right, so it's not going to roll it. So it's going to move out of the grease.
I want him to.
And
come
towards
on.
Douglas. So he moves up, gets probably within 15 feet of you, Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel this withering gaze come down, slamming into you. I'm going to get you to roll a constitution saving throw.
Yeah.
And I really, really hope you roll real good.
16 constitution.
Nice. You will take 10 points of necrotic damage.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still up?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm fine.
Nice. All right.
She got that one turn in the healing spirit. She's good.
She basks in it. Yeah.
Here you are, about 15 feet away from the Bodak. It is your turn. Your friends, 15 feet behind it, lying on the ground in puddles of their own necrotic dissolution.
Ugh.
It's gross. You guys are gross because you're dying.
Gross, you guys.
Death is disgusting.
Beg to differ.
Hamlet's behind you, Douglas.
That's true. So protect the raptor at all costs. Yeah.
Put He's the crown, my only friend.
Yeah, put the crown on Hamlet.
You know what I'm really here answer. For.
I have to get past him to do that. What do you say?
What did I say? I said, it's your turn. What are you going to do?
That's not what I heard you say, but... Yeah, I'm just going to cast a Ray of Frost on my good friend.
Hamlet?
Yeah. No. On the Bodak. Bodak Horseman.
All right.
Yeah.
13.
13 misses.
Good. I wanted it to.
Anything else you could do with your turn?
Not unless I get a second action.
You have a bonus action and a move. I'll give you those.
Yeah, then he's going to hit me.
He's about 15 feet away from you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Actually said that so that you wouldn't be able to melee him for some reason.
thank you. Yeah, I'm going to run towards the dinosaur.
Okay.
I mean, he's literally right behind you.
Douglas turns
but
tail.
I don't want to be in the... Or if I can... I'm going to stand behind Hamlet.
You're the worst.
What? If I die, then that's just... It's over.
That's the end of the show.
Hamlet could feed there me goes my our star. Healing potion.
Well, then you tell him to do that.
All right, your turn ends, and you're still close enough. You're going to take that 5 points of necrotic damage.
Luckily, it's Hammy's turn.
It is Hamlet's turn. Lee lying on the ground. Hamlet senses something's wrong with his companion.
The noise of a rap.
All right, and Hamlet runs around the corner and pounces on
that thing. As soon as it bursts around the corner, he is going to have to make a constitution saving throw as he is not intelligent enough to avert his gaze.
19.
Oh, he's good.
What?
All right, give me your full attack.
So still a disadvantage, right?
No, because he's not averting his gaze.
Oh.
Right? Okay. That's why I made you make the saving throw.
16 to hit.
Hits.
Oh, you're dead. You're so dead.
Do the damage.
You're dead. We're fine. 5 damage.
Yes.
All right. So
you're going to get the biggest ham steak. I'm going to get
Hamlet's you. Hamlet's claws start to dig into the bodak, but being non-magical, he's able to resist a little bit of that damage and is still up. It is Crate's turn. Crate, you're on the ground. Was that a failed death saving throw?
Oh, it was.
Okay.
Oh, I guess Lee should have rolled a death saving throw.
Oh, yeah, please do.
Oh.
At the end of your turns, Hamlet and Lee both take 5 necrotic damage. Now, when you're unconscious and you take damage, that counts as a failed saving throw. So Lee and Crate both have 1 remaining saving throw before they are permanently dead. It is now the Bodak's turn. He's going to take his attack against Hamlet. I think he'll probably use a fist.
It's going to kill my dinosaur too.
19 to hit.
What a piece of shit.
15 points of damage to Hamlet.
Still up. What?
Whoa! Nice. It is now Douglas's turn. Douglas, you hear Hamlet in the fight of his life around the corner.
If I 5-foot step forward, can I still see him or no?
It's like 10 feet. You'll be able to see him.
Okay. This time I'm going to just cast Frostbite. Let's go with something that hopefully won't miss on my part.
Okay.
15 is your goal, Constitution.
All right. Fails.
Okay, I'm going to roll some stuff.
Some stuff. How much damage?
8 damage.
4 points of damage. And the bodak crumbles to the ground. Dead. Again.
You really like making that joke.
Sorry. All right, so Douglas, you see this creature crumble. Immediately, the necrotic aura dissipates. You no longer feel that drain on your life energy. You give Hamlet a hug of joy, and you see that Crate and Lee, however, are still on their last legs. You have movement left.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything with a bonus action that you could do to save either of them right now before they have to make another saving throw?
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
Okay, well, you're up to them, we'll say.
Yep.
So on your next turn, you'll be able to do something. Lee, it is your turn first.
Oh my God.
Oh God, please make it.
That one failed it for me last time. I'll try this dice.
Oh my God.
Whoa.
Natural 20.
Oh, she's up.
So you are up at 1 hit point.
What? That's even better.
That's even better.
Actually,
holy crow.
Do I get an action?
No, that's the end of your turn.
Okay. Because I was going to like throw my potion in Crate's face.
You've wasted dealing 4 damage.
Douglas, you're there at your feet. Is Crate lying there? You see just ahead of you, Lee, taking a breath and come back to consciousness. Crate, it is your turn. Make that death saving throw.
Cool.
Out of character, I'm not sure what I'm hoping for.
That's fair. Crate got the crown. He can die
blissfully.
As much as a guy like him can die happy.
He was wearing it right now, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, that's how he'd want to go.
What?
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Another natural 20.
That's
wow.
Bonkers.
Death cannot stop us.
That is the third time this campaign that a final death saving throw has resulted in a natural 20.
It's true.
That's crazy.
That is awesome.
Doug is about to like go in for like a group hug and then like, no, and just goes for Lee. Like last second stops.
Wow. That is awesome. Wow. You guys are all conscious.
Yeah.
The bodaks crumbled around you. We've got the black opal crown on Crate's greenish brow. You are now tasked with getting out of this room?
So
I'm at one.
Yeah.
All right. I have one more healing spirit left that I can cast.
I mean,
and my potion.
I mean, the door's not open. Yeah. I just want to take a long rest.
I'm fairly open to that. My only concern is if more Bodex can come out of that door.
Mm-hmm.
Not through the
let's barricade
demon
that thing
mask.
You can try to. I think it's like an abyss.
Mm-hmm. We have that marble pillar. Maybe we can move that thing.
Okay.
Is it attached to the floor?
I mean, if you want to move it, you can.
Sure. It's not big enough to block the demon head, I don't think, though.
No, like a medium creature would be able to move in and out. It's kind of like size of a door for that face or the mouth of the demon head. Yeah.
I mean, we could actually take turns or whatever, sleeping.
Yeah, we could just chance it.
Do watches?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something we haven't had to do in a long time.
I like that idea.
Lee, do you want to cast alarm?
Oh my god.
I don't even know how.
Is that still on your spell? Yeah.
Shaking, Lee approaches.
It's been a big day for Lee.
Oh my god.
Okay, I cast alarm on the demon head entrance.
All right, so if anything crosses the threshold of your spell, it will set off an alarm.
That's nuts. I'm so excited.
You almost want it to go off. Just to see,
right?
Just to see it works.
No.
Well, if it doesn't, I'm going to trip it myself.
That seems like a bad idea, too.
You bed down. You set watches. Who's taking first watch?
Douglas will, because yeah. I'm still the most alive.
Okay. Second watch?
I guess. Great.
Third watch? Lee?
Sure.
Okay. You guys bed down for your long rest, taking turns, keeping an eye on the room, listening for the sound of Lee's alarm to ring out in case danger approaches. And as you lay your head onto your bedrolls, you fall into an uneasy sleep. Each of you are visited by nightmares. Lee, even though you truly don't sleep, you more fall into a trance being an elf. You begin to cycle through the ancestral memories of your soul.
Wow.
Scenes of, this is what elves do. They are reincarnated with each generation. Your soul is immortal, and this is your current iteration. As you are cycling through your dream memories, you see visions of some distant ancestor traveling through a void. Starry washes of light passing over you. And in certain areas of this endless space, you sense intense evil just floating out there like giant asteroids whirring around the cosmos. You feel like your ancestors have faced things like this place before. It gives you some semblance of hope until you realize that almost every time they have faced something like this, they have died. You don't know if they've succeeded at their quests. You don't know if you will. Crate, your dreams are also restless, and you begin to see these images of the coiling black body of Dendar the Night Serpent coiling around you. And at first, you think this is a reward. You found the black opal crown. It's sitting there on your head. Dendar is coming towards you to take you into his embrace, to give you oblivion and bring you forward into the new world. But the crown is burning. It's burning hot. It's eroding your skin. You feel your scales and your flesh start to melt off of your face. And then Dendar himself also begins to melt and turn necrotic. His eyes take on that green, malevolent glow. Douglas, you dream of home. You dream of your family, of uncle and auntie, and all the other Ganassi that lived at the bottom of the ocean with you. All of them are melting away, being washed to dust by the ocean. Their memories falling apart, their knowledge being lost to time. and you are there like a statue, immovable, implacable. You are the one that survives, but there's no one to share your time or your knowledge with. And when you all awaken, your hit point maximum is reduced by 4.
Okay, so we long rest. That's still better off than where we were, so I'm okay with it for now.
First things first.
Let's trip that alarm.
Second thing second, level 3 aid. Maximum hit points up by 10.
Whoa. Nice.
How long does that last for?
8 hours.
Nice. Temporary hit points kind of thing? Or?
No, it's your actual maximum goes up by 10.
You guys are here in the maze of death or the maze of doom. You've got this green devil mask off to the side. You've got 2 doors. One leads back to the gargoyles that you had fought the day before. The other goes off in a direction you don't know. Both of them, on the inside of the door, is painted a male humanoid in a black robe, its face obscured by a starry sky, right arm extended, severed at the elbow.
Great. I know this isn't something you'd want to do, but can you just put the crown back on the pedestal for a sec?
That would allow the gargoyles to come back in. So no, I cannot.
We're assuming it didn't reset.
We could just pick it up and take it off real quick.
You want me to put the crown back for a second, see if it reopens this door?
Because I know this other one closed too. So even if that other one did open, we could just book it for that door.
So I could be like...
We could be waiting at the door and
yeah, here.
Just ready to leave if it opens.
And you can be right on the door side of the pedestal. And we can yell at you if it's not opening or something terrible is going on.
I doubt I could make it from the pillar to the door in time.
You know that the gargoyles, if they were in here, would have to squeeze at the very least.
Oh, sure. But I don't think I could make it that far before the door closes again.
I mean, give it to me. I'll do it.
Oh, because you would lift the crown back up again.
Yeah.
Right.
I could also ready in action. Like I can have grease ready. So that's a little bit extra.
I feel like it's not going to work, but I just want to...
Yeah, try all possibilities at this point.
Yeah, before I cut off someone's arm.
Just cut off your own arm. You're so into cutting off arms.
Yeah, cutting off the archer's arm. That's a good idea.
So
cutting off any of our arms is a bad idea.
So if I roll a percentile and get 100, is there a chance that when Orvex was torn in pieces, his arm landed on my bag?
I think we need the rest of him. We don't need his arm.
Or the rest of the body. That's fine, too.
I think it probably did, but then it got jostled off as you were running upstairs.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
just too bad.
Can I give you a fate point?
Yeah, what about horror?
Can I flip the Fate and Destiny?
No. The Star Wars Fate and Destiny dice?
Yeah. Gee. Otherwise, I've got Dispel Magic, but that's probably not powerful enough. I can meld into stone and just hang out in the door for 8 hours. But that won't help.
No.
This is a tricky one.
But the thing is, you have to know too, if you put it down and it opens the door, you probably are losing it, right? So.
No, because I will pick it back up.
But you still have to get through here.
Yeah, that was my issue with the whole plan. You could cast haste on me, then I could probably make it, but that might be a waste of a spell.
Yeah.
You don't even know if it's going to move the door at all.
Yeah,
That's what Dan is asking you to do. Just even see if it'll even work.
Just to test it the whole thing.
All right, Dougie's standing over there on watch.
Over there,
over there in the corner where you can see the door, and I will tenderly place the crown atop the pedestal.
Ready to snatch
count
it up.
1, 2, and put it back.
Nothing happens.
Okay, good plan, guys.
It was worth a shot.
All right, I'm going to roll a d6. 1 to 2, I chop off Dougie's arm. 3 to 4, I chop off Crate's arm. 5 to 6, I chop off my own arm.
Okay.
Here we go, everybody. That's Crate's arm.
Try it.
I mean, I feel that's very drastic.
Do you know where we are?
No, of course I don't.
We are in a place where they're going to make us do things like this. Like...
Use your words.
Like what?
Like sacrifice our own limbs.
I don't know. I just don't think it's worth doing that.
It's the only thing we can do.
I don't believe that. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that's true. Because, like, if it doesn't work, that just means you cut off a fucking arm for no reason.
One other option, animate dead, chop off its arm.
They are dust.
Dust. Gone, gone. Okay, so I need one of you to kill yourselves.
You first.
I think maybe...
I mean, you could have rolled a D8, Dan.
And cut off Hamlet's arm?
Oh my god.
Yeah, but Hamlet's not a human. Well, he's deciding about that. I'm going to go back to the horrible open mouth.
Sure.
And I feel like I've been concentrating on this guy's, like, on different levels a few times, and I'm going to try to see if there's anything different.
You frequently have run into these.
Yeah. Or even, like, something that's repetitively the same.
Sure.
So, you set off the alarm.
So you've got this green, devil face in front of you. The mouth agape and filled with darkness, as all the rest of them have been. You're the one person who's seen three of these so far.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and make an investigation check.
11?
You can see that there is something different about this face compared to the other faces. There's some sort of writing written just above the forehead. However, I don't know if it would be in a language you understand.
Not even if I comprehend languages?
Does that allow you to understand written languages? Because then it would.
I think it specifically lets me do that.
All right. Do you cast it? You burn a
spell? Yeah, any written language that I see. Yeah, I will cast that.
Okay.
So excited that I can actually do something. I'm like, Orvix would have wanted this.
You cast it and the text begins to shimmer in front of you and change into common. It says, darkness is coming for you. Your doom is at hand.
At right hand, I ask. Well, it sounded like that made any sense to you. Does that make sense?
It's just a bunch of words that are similar to the situation we're in. Darkness, hands.
I wonder almost, instead of chopping off a hand, I think maybe we should put a hand in the mouth.
Yeah. That'll probably at least cauterize it.
Yeah, I think, well, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to roll a D6.
Is the
I have a sword that can cauterize. It's a fire sword.
I don't think that works that way.
It's fire. It does fire damage.
Yeah. I don't think enough for that.
With a medicine check, I would let it work.
Yeah, I think that works. But I really think that's probably...
Yeah, I don't hate that idea, actually. Is it written, just out of curiosity, in Abyssal, Common, Draconic?
Oh, you understand Abyssal?
Yep.
Yeah, it's Abyssal.
Oh, well, shit. Out of my excitement,
that,
I didn't
Now that
ask.
Douglas points it out to you,
yeah.
You're like, oh yeah,
to be fair, I didn't see it before, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I was too excited. Oh, cool.
Well,
stick your arm in there, Crate.
He's definitely thinking about it. Okay, here's something to consider. I use both of my hands.
For what?
For my Warhammer and my shield.
Shield.
Lee uses both of hers.
I use mine to cast as well.
Yeah, you just need one for that, I think.
No, there's like certain ones where I have to actually use both hands. So.
All right. As we discussed earlier, Crate does feel a certain connection with darkness.
Mm-hmm.
He adjusts the crown on his head and he trusts in Dendar's judgment to bring him here. And he probably shield hand.
Yeah, I think we can attach a shield to a stump.
Right hand or left hand?
Oh, do the one that's actually still on the guy.
Yeah. Well, no, I would want to have the stump on the same, in theory, if that's how this is working.
That could be the warning that one didn't work and this one did work.
What did the writing say?
It says, darkness is coming for you. Your doom is at hand.
What's your doom hand?
They're both doom hands. Every part of my body is a doom appendant.
You remember that.
I have enough doom in my finger.
Shut up.
You remember that the painting on the outside of this room was the left hand being held up.
And we high-fived that and that worked.
Yeah.
On the inside of this door, it is...
the right hand that is severed off.
I think that means right hand into the darkness, right?
You've got two, so let's figure it out.
Yeah, I guess we've got two chances.
Well, if it doesn't work on yours, I'll do mine.
Well, no, we can just let Craig do it. If he's willing to.
He attaches his hammer to his belt and reaches in as far as the other
it
one was.
Selward at the elbow.
At the elbow. Mm, all right. Go for it.
You reach into the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of feel like a coldness. Like almost like there's no air out there. When you go to pull your arm back, it's gone below the elbow.
Yeah, of course it is. We knew that was going to happen. That ain't a reveal.
Neat. I still got one. Stump bump.
Stump bump.
Oh, is it clean? Is it clean?
I think
it,
like
is, it is like...
Just not there.
Molecularly severed.
So we can see like the bone ring and...
It's yeah, it's perfectly...
That's so weird.
But not bleeding out.
Sure. I think that's I think that
important.
Looks cool.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that looks
yeah,
cool.
Definitely.
That it's just like
it's just like a cut of meat or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a
it's like one of those cartoons where you like take a stump of steak and there's just like meat
oh, yeah.
with like a
yeah.
white
the
bone.
The perfect hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, while he's doing that, I started to fashion a rope mechanism to tie his shield onto the stump.
Okay.
It's a buckler now.
Yeah.
Well, you said you still have your shield in your left arm, though.
My shield is on my left.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I may have to figure something out for that.
Okay.
Some kind of spectral hand spell that probably exists.
I'm okay. sure.
But for now.
Do we hear anything?
Well,
no.
He has to go
no, you don't.
Touch.
Yeah.
He has to stump to stump.
Stump? Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, I go stump up the door. I'm going to keep saying it till it sticks.
Do you go to the door you went in
no,
before?
No, the new
door,
I think. Okay. I don't want yeah. nothing to do with those them gargoyles.
Yeah.
You go over to the new door and you show it your stump.
And, just show it.
And the door begins to sink, opening to a dark hallway with some, you know, some light cobweb cast between it. It extends for quite a ways, probably about 50, 60 feet straight ahead.
I send my candle down.
It goes a little ways, and then dimly through all the cobwebs, you see further on, maybe another 40 feet past your candle, you see another light pop up.
Whoa.
And as your candle moves closer, it moves closer.
I'm going to make it do a little circle.
Is it a mirror?
It also goes in a circle.
It sounds like it's some kind of mirror, yeah. I mean, magical mirror, obviously, but a mirror.
It's just out there in the darkness. And as your candle gets right up to the mirror, you can see just maybe like 100 feet away from you now that the candle is sitting in front of a mirror waving up and down. And as it reaches the lower part of the arc, it illuminates a figure. Someone kind of humanoid sized, sitting cross-legged.
They look alive?
Off to the side, and they look out towards the light.
I turn on my flame sword.
I'm like, hey,
it's go time,
bro.
And your voice sort of echoes down. And
really?
I'm tired, okay?
We just had a long rest.
Yeah, long rest where I lost life along with it. So, I mean, this whole place is exhausting.
Your voice echoes down the chamber.
Hey, 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 bro, bro, bro.
And then you hear a voice come back. Trevor, what does this person say?
Bro, bro, bro.
What? Right back
hey.
To me?
Hey.
Oh my God, it's some sort of mirror man. No, that's all I say.
The figure stands up and starts pointing his hand at you and pointing and pointing and pointing. And with it starts to begin to stutter and says, you made it. You made it.
Barely, I say.
All right. I approach cautiously.
You get about 40 feet away, 35 feet away. You're getting closer.
What do my elven eyes see?
As now that you're past a bunch of these cobwebs, you can see this figure looking back at you as this youngish looking half elf. He's.
And they kiss.
He's kind of tall, dressed like a sailor. With a flowing cloak and a big hood that's pulled back, short cropped reddish hair. He's a really handsome guy. He looks kind of like Hacksail.
What?
In fact, it is Hacksail. This looks like Hacksail.
So, yeah, I wouldn't know who that is.
But Lee knows who that is.
Yeah.
What? How are you here?
Hacksail looks at you and says, You know me?
I know you.
You recognize me.
I know you.
Where am I? Where do you know me from?
How did you get here?
I've been here for a very long time, but I haven't been here for a very long time. And he gestures to his face and he says, how do you know me? How do you know this face?
You are one of my crew members.
You've been on the High Havoc?
Yep.
What a beautiful ship.
You
stab it.
Yeah, you died in Port Nyanzaru. You shouldn't be here.
No.
You've been dead for a long time.
I died here.
You died here. No, you didn't die here.
I died here.
No, we got a message that you died in Port Nyanzaru.
10 years ago, I died here.
Oh.
And then he was resurrected.
Okay, that's true. I don't know if you died here, but...
It seems so.
I've been to this tomb and died here 10 years ago. What are you doing here?
Honestly, I'm here because of you.
Oh, that's great. You should let me out.
I'm not here for you. I'm here because of you.
You should let me out.
We're not going out. We're going further.
No, you should let me out of this mirror.
Wait, what? You're in the mirror? Oh my God. Okay. I do a quick perception.
Now that you're closer, you can see that there's a candle on your side, a reflection of a candle. And this figure that you thought was in that room is actually inside the mirror.
Oh my
He's
God.
He's on the other side of the threshold and you can see him. But you also can't see your reflection from where you are. You're not quite close enough yet.
Mm-hmm.
I call down the way, like, what's up? What's going on?
This is
your crew?
This is my new crew, I guess, technically. My boys.
They don't look like they know how to... I wouldn't trust them with the High Havoc.
Oh, we know how to party.
I know about the High Havoc, if you know what I mean.
You don't have to worry about anyone being good on the High Havoc.
Why not?
It is gone.
What did you do to my ship?
It's not your ship. It was dirt.
A lot of assumptions on this guy's part.
I loved that ship. I loved it like it was mine.
Yeah, it sounds like it was great. Can we go?
Yeah.
This is the reason I'm here.
You're here to defeat the Soulmonger.
Right.
That too, but this is along the road to that.
You'll want my help getting through this tomb.
Who are you?
Oh, right. Haxel lifts up his hands and sort of gestures over his figure. Are you, Douglas, are you closer to the mirror now? Or are you still like 60 feet away?
Oh, yeah, I haven't moved closer.
Oh, okay.
That's why I was yelling at Lee. Like,
I would say Douglas
on?
Could make out the details, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you look 10 years younger?
I look like a 10-year younger Haxel in his prime.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I knew if
you,
I was on the ship at that time. But
you wouldn't have been in the ship.
I reckon,
time.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Gestures over his face, and the illusion ripples over him, and suddenly long, flowing blonde hair emerges, and elf ears emerge to be fully pointed, and I look like you. I look like Liani. And then the hands continue to emerge, and it ripples over again. And then suddenly black horns and a black long nose of my black dragonborn heritage is revealed as a dragonborn warlock.
All right, I take a step back. You're not Haxel.
No, I was a crew. I came here with Haxel and Dark. I was from the High Havoc. I was the original partying team. We came here to steal the skull chalice of Chagra Kari. There are many different people that were trying to get it from this tomb, and we made it through 4 levels. After navigating the jungles and stealing ruins, I killed a Medusa.
All right, Lee's just trying to process all this, and she's remembering, actually, that Cranston had taken something from... Dirk, is that his name?
From Dark. That was the cube.
That was the cube.
One of the cubes that allowed you access to the tomb.
Okay. And I have no idea where that ended up, honestly.
You used it to get in. It was a key to get into this tomb.
Okay. Yeah.
I shout at Lee, just smash it.
Yeah, just let him out.
Don't smash the mirror. Okay. Let me give you a password to let me out. I can't say the password from inside the mirror. The password has to be said from outside of the mirror. That's why I've been stuck here for so long.
Like charades or something?
No, you can hear me.
Actually say the word to me and I can repeat it.
Exactly.
I just shake my head. I'm like, Douglas, Lee, you're just going to end up in that fucking mirror.
Hey.
I don't say that out loud, though.
I'm a risk taker. If we can add another party member to this,
We're going to need it.
I need you to say Blackfire number 7.
Is that a perfume?
Chanel.
I've been working on it for 10 years.
I say, before you say that, Lee.
Wait, you told me.
I'm gonna...
Black something number 7.
Yeah, that should work.
Yes. Black before you say that, I say to... Did you say your name yet or no?
My name is Moore.
Moore. Why did you come as a different shape originally? Why shapeshift so much at us?
I'm stuck in a magical mirror. I've been stuck here for a long time. The only faces I have to keep me company are the faces of the people I came here with. The faces of the people who I didn't know if they were alive or not, if they ever got out of here or not. The door you came out of is the last door. The creatures in that room laid waste to the last of my crew. Darg and Haxail left early. Darg was possessed by something spooked him about this place, and he needed to get Haxail out when Haxail fell to a trap.
So you got left behind here? So you've been here for 10 years?
Yes.
So you didn't die here. You're just here.
I'm just here. I'm stuck in a magic mirror.
And how did you end up in this mirror?
I saw at the end of this hallway, I thought it was a window to the ocean. And I missed the ocean. And I walked towards it until I was inside of the mirror. And the ocean disappeared. And I turned around and I could not get out.
Okay.
How'd you get in here with two arms?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Maybe he comes out and he doesn't have two arms.
Well, those other crew members.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's just mad.
All right.
How did you get in here with two arms?
This is bullshit.
I should know next time.
There was another crew member that didn't survive. I got stuck in the mirror and I watched my crew member be consumed by the tomb.
Neat. All right.
I mean, we're assuming he's telling the truth, but it sounds plausible to me.
You could roll an insight.
Mm.
I was going to even use my... I have that helm.
The helm of telepathy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does that let me read?
I think it allows you to detect surface thoughts and then cast suggestion.
Okay, that's...
Douglas got a 14 insight.
He seems about bored.
Yeah. I'm going to roll an insight too, though. No better.
Lee, would there be something about the ship that...
Only he would know?
Only a crew member would remember? Maybe he could describe it to you or something?
Tell me something about the High Havoc that only crew members would know.
The High Havoc's figurehead is a blackened, charred minotaur with a gold ring. There's a gold and blue patterned relief inside the ceiling of Captain Darg's cabin. And the helm... The wheel that steers the High Havoc is made out of 8 whale ribs that have been carved into swords and kept together in a ring of walnut wood.
There's actually 7 whale ribs. Kill them.
All right. And then I say Blackfire number 7.
In the mirror, you can feel the glass. You've been in this place for so long that you know it inside out. You can feel a breeze. You can feel the air. As dank and as dusty and as terrible as this tomb is, that air, that circulation of air coming in is a relief to you. And you feel that the barrier is gone. And as you step out from within the mirror, the time standing still that you were enchanted by within the mirror seems to wash away, and suddenly you're hungry. Suddenly you're very thirsty. And on the left wall, just north of where you are, a door opens, and you can see another hallway going back out, and a faint light in the distance, the color of the light that you might remember from the central grand staircase.
Do we want to go back?
Moore quickly turns around and smashes the mirror.
That's fair.
I think it's just gone, is it not?
No, as soon as he's out of it and turns around and shatters it, it falls to pieces on the ground in front of you.
I grab a big piece of the mirror and I put it in my jacket. And then I kick some of it and I spit my acid breath weapon at it.
Okay.
Cool, bro.
Just for a description of Moore.
I've been stuck in that for a while.
Yeah, 10 years is a long time. I don't blame you.
So you're playing a Dragonborn?
Yeah, I'm a Dragonborn Warlock. Black horns, long face.
Why the long face?
I thought it, but I didn't say it.
You can tell Jake is really upset about losing his arm over there. He hasn't said anything in character.
In like 40 minutes. Character.
Yeah.
What's up with your face?
More just,
where's your, why don't you have a freaking arm?
No. More would just look at Crate and sort of like do a double guns and sort of snap fingers and be like, nice one, jerk.
Use both of your hands to do that. You son of a bitch.
Bonding.
Oh my.
Real people.
Yeah. Hey, Moore, want to play patty cake?
Why would you mock him?
Probably the touch of another living creature would be quite inviting to you.
Absolutely.
I'm not in the mood for touching.
Oh, can I touch your raptor?
Yeah.
If it lets you.
Yeah, no, I can speak with this raptor.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Now you are four.
We are four.
The High Havoc crew slowly reassembling.
So do I attune to the Black Opal Crown now and gain an unimaginable otherworldly power?
No.
Oh, okay.
The power of the Black Opal Crown is outside the scope of this adventure.
That's fair.
All right. I'm going to catch up more on kind of...
Are you just going to keep wearing it?
What's happened in the past 10 years.
Okay. Yeah, you catch him up about how Haxail was brought back to life by Darg, continued to pirate for a few years, and then Haxail became sick and you needed to return here in order
to... And because he's sick, he demanded that everyone else on the High Havoc die.
Huh?
Because we all died.
Oh, he made a demand that they had to all come here and basically face their own
death. Throw our lives at it until he was reborn.
You are the last.
He really loved that
of
guy.
Of the High Havoc.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. A Darg is still in Port Nine Zaru.
Darg is still there.
Yeah.
Darg,
fuck
as
that
much
guy.
As I loved him before, it's
wearing.
It's waning.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's understandable.
As someone who's been stuck in a mirror for 10 years because of Darg, I agree with you.
Yeah, especially
that one.
After hearing your story. Like,
he didn't even come back
for
you.
He's just sending people to do his dirty work, honestly.
Well, like, he came back for... Well, Haxail was a very charming...
I love Haxail.
Yeah, Haxail was great.
Fine.
Yeah, we all love Haxail.
Were they lovers, though, or something? Like, why is
no,
he...
No, they were just...
Haxail was lovers of all.
Oh,
no,
that's cool.
They're like
they're
the
like,
only two remaining.
They're like
together.
Kirk and Spock if Kirk was a coward.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But even they jettisoned him into like another planet.
I missed that episode.
They let him die instead of sending the whole crew of like the Enterprise to fucking die.
It's not a perfect analogy.
It's not a, yeah. They're good buddies. They're like me and Trevor.
Yeah.
So you would send us all to die if Trevor was
if I could save Trevor.
That would work, absolutely.
That's not a great analogy to me, and it really puts a different spin on our friendship.
I'm so happy to be back on the podcast.
I was willing to kill them all.
Well, they almost all died before they could get to me.
I was so close, Trevor. It was going to be just you and me.
We don't need any of them.
I mean, he could just kill us.
All right. So what do you guys do? Do you go back to the room with the Bodax?
I'm going
to
approach it and peek inside because I want to see if the statues have reset.
Oh, you go to the north?
There's more than one option.
So you can go, the secret door open to the north back towards what you think is the grand staircase.
Yeah.
You could go that way out there, or you could go back through the room you guys just nearly got annihilated in.
There's no real reason to go
back.
But
the main hallway, isn't that where the gargoyles were?
That's right. The main the central staircase is where they originally attacked you.
Yeah. So there's nothing, no other doors in this room then?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this was just a shitty death room.
Yeah.
You got your Black Opal Crown.
Yeah.
For the rest of you guys, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, that sucked balls. But,
I mean, for this guy, I guess it was good. For, what's your name?
Moore.
For Moore, it was good.
Okay.
Would Moore know anything about that secret door?
It's just the door to the narrow we've been before.
Yeah,
so.
It's just the short entrance.
Yeah, it was just a hidden doorway.
Like a video game.
You actually would have seen the denizens of the tomb, the caretakers, coming and going through that door.
Yeah. Cool.
What do the caretakers look like?
Well, they're albino undead dwarves.
Oh.
Oh.
We know albino dwarves, not undead dwarves, though.
They don't look like guys with weird spheres and other geometrical shapes in their heads. Do you know anything about those guys?
You may have seen one or two of those skeletons, but more so you saw these tomb dwarves that wore masks that look like the Green Devil faces. You also saw another undead creature that he looked more patched together, like a Frankenstein sort of monster, but he was a wizard. And that's when he came around to do like magical repairs on rooms, that's who you saw use the mirror and command it and keep you trapped there.
Mm. The fuck? People still come here to like...
Well, he's...
I thought this place was abandoned.
No, like... no. That was Withers. That was an undead wizard dude.
I've been stuck here a long time. We should maybe kill him later.
Oh, sure. Let's kill them all at this point. This place is terrible.
I'm going to peek into that room. I just want to see if the gargoyles have reset.
The staircase?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you peek out. You are on that balcony level. You can see the stairs that go up to the purple ooze level. Ahead of you is that stairway that goes to the left where you last fought that skeleton.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I can peek down, though, into the courtyard?
And you can peek down into that central area where the gargoyles have reset back on top of their pillars and they are frozen in place again.
I'm trying to remember what set them off in the first place.
Us going to this room, actually.
You leaving the central chamber is when they started to attack.
They didn't freak out when Masterpiece jumped down the hole, though.
I thought that's when they activated was when he went down.
It was
when I went up the stairwell?
It was when you went down the east hallway away from the central
chamber. Oh, okay.
So it seems like down is our only way.
There was no other doorways and stuff down there?
Nope.
On that bottom floor? Okay.
That's it.
So there's just the hole.
The hole.
Okay. I think that's our answer.
Douglas feels really bad because he was the one who didn't want to go down the hole the first time.
Well, we didn't want to chase down Masterpiece.
No. He's far ahead of us now.
Even though I messed him up so good.
You did.
Who's Masterpiece?
Masterpiece is a black dragon.
Who looks like a pug.
He used to be a dog.
Oh.
I mean, he was always a black dragon who could shapeshift to a dog, but we didn't know that till just now.
Yeah, so he was working with a wizard that we killed entering the tomb.
What do you guys do?
I tie a rope to one of the legs, I guess.
To one of the gargoyle legs?
Yeah. Ugh.
Okay, they remain...
okay, so we're just down there now. All right.
Douglas is just going for it. Oh, yeah. They remain stock still as you move up to them, pull out your rope, tie it to one of their legs. They are frozen in place.
Okay, go down.
Moore changes shape to look like Crate.
Just so we know.
Weird.
Why are you doing that?
Just to get to know you.
That's a weird way to relate to somebody.
You should know that I had like a really cool like robot arm here before. And it had like a bunch of like lasers and stuff. It was really cool.
I like that.
Yeah, you should show that off.
So while Douglas is tying off this rope, I approach Horik's dead body.
You walk over to the area where Creighton and Douglas saw Horik and Orvex be killed.
Mm-hmm.
The floor and wall are splattered with blood and gore. Their bodies are gone. In their place is a box with a bow on it.
That seems weird.
That seems not great.
No, I don't like the look of that.
Is there two
boxes?
Although
I think that does explain.
One box.
Just one box.
That does explain why we never find bodies really around here. Somebody cleans them up.
Okay.
I don't open it.
You pick up the box?
Yeah.
Shake it.
It is maybe 2 feet long and a foot wide, made out of this dark jungle wood. The bow on top is just like a ribbon that's been nailed in through the center. There are two hasps on it. It's not locked.
I do a perception check on it.
Just looking for traps? Okay.
Traps first, and then maybe I'll get one of the others to do an arcana check on it or something.
Like a detect magic?
Yeah. 24 for perception.
Okay, you detect no traps.
Guys, can you take a look at this?
I don't have detect magic, so.
What about more?
Oh, I could do like an arcana check, but I don't also.
Yeah, just a regular.
I don't have detect magic either.
Usually you just feel magic. You don't really have to detect it often.
If you're just looking at the box, you don't see anything magical, like obviously magical, unless you were to do something to detect magic.
All right. I put it down and I take out my staff and I prod it open with that. And I say, everyone, step back.
You, using the end of your staff, you pull open on the top of the box and it creaks open. Inside is this malformed looking twisted rag doll in the shape of a frog with snakes nailed to the outside of it, or stapled or stitched on some way to look like tentacles, and sewn on in place of one of the eyes is a golden ring.
What the hell?
Something to do with the spirit that was inhabiting Horik.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
And now Horik is no more. The ring, was that the item that Horik picked up?
Horik took the ring of protection from right. Kubazon Shrine. Obalaka.
Yep. Obalaka. So, I mean, if someone wants a ring of protection, there's one there.
There's just
also the fear of being inhabited by Obalaka.
Well, that's only if you fail your save.
I mean,
it's a small risk.
It's kind of funny because I think that would almost even me out.
Yeah. Well, I think you'd lose one and you get the other
one. Oh, do you?
Yeah, from what I remember.
I'm getting used to this strength of 23.
I think you shouldn't. Possibly one of us, though.
It's because I got possessed by it.
Oh, right.
That sounds like a good one maybe for a crate.
Huh? Sorry, what?
Like, that ring, isn't it protection? You need that.
Don't say it.
Where are you going to put?
I still got one hand.
Yeah, he's got toes. It could be a toe ring.
I don't know. From what I recall, like the way Horik acted, it didn't seem worth it.
What was the Obelix thing? It was being cautious and
more,
afraid.
And, more cautious.
Yeah,
and,
you got to have two.
Risk averse.
That seems like the opposite of what we need right now.
Is it possible to carry the ring without putting it on? And
you can. If you touch it, then it happens
to you regardless.
What kind of check did we have to make last time?
It's a charisma saving throw.
So if your charisma is high, you could take it potentially and not get possessed by the god.
Yeah. That's right, because that's what happened with my necklace.
And then you would just get the benefits of the protection.
That's right.
Protection.
More understands the trials and tribulations that caused the second last person of the High Havoc to lose their life, but I could use the protection. More reaches down into the box and takes the ring from the eye of this little doll.
And as you pluck it off, this little fuzzy bear-like spirit with fangs leaps out of the ring and clutches onto your arm. Ooh. Make a charisma saving throw.
20.
Okay. You succeed and you manage to shake off the power of the spirit.
Gross, get off me.
So you now have a ring of protection.
Sweet.
You need to
attune to it
in order to wear it.
Okay.
You have to spend a short or long rest with the ring in order to allow it to unlock its powers.
Okay, yeah. Sweet.
So you don't get any of the benefit now, but later, you're sweet. Good.
Okay.
So no blood or anything? Like,
there's blood everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's no body.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that like another plus one to all saving throws?
It's all saving throws, yeah.
It's not a bad ring. Yeah. It's just the bad part can be bad. Although Horik died doing what he loved. Fighting monsters.
Yeah, he fought it off last time.
Yeah.
No bodies anywhere.
No bodies.
Not even enough to make a ghoul out of?
Nope.
Lame. That's why he did this.
Yeah, and Bob the Battle Axe is gone forever too.
Mm-hmm.
So, Douglas has his rope tied to the leg of the gargoyle, stringing down the central pit. You now just need to climb on down. Everybody goes?
Yep.
Yep.
Spider climb.
Yep.
All right.
You don't even take the rope I put down.
No, I'll leave that for you guys.
Okay, thanks.
You string the rope down. You guys go down hand over hand. And as you descend into this lower chamber, a pungent stench fills this room that you now see is pentagonal, the walls of which are covered with a riveted sheets of iron. A wild garden full of sickly plants and rotting compost takes up most of the interior of this room. And a narrow path hugs the walls between two exits. One exit to the west and one to the southwest. Jutting from the middle of the garden is a 6-foot-tall rusty sprinkler. And of course, in the ceiling right above the sprinkler is the 10-foot-wide shaft that you guys just dropped down through.
Weird.
Not what I was expecting. Yeah.
Okay, well, exits north and south, west, east?
It's a pentagon. And two adjacent corners, the west corner and the southwest corner, are open.
More changes his form to look like Douglas.
You're weird.
Don't be rude.
I don't know this guy.
Crate's acting weird too, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. You guys are acting so bizarre.
You guys hear through the west door the clattering of footsteps.
Is this Kelly?
You're not sure. Sounds familiar.
Let's go take a look.
All right. Yep.
Okay. I could cast invisible on us.
On all of us?
I don't know how many people I can cast invisible on.
You can do three.
Let's not be hasty.
Okay.
We may not need
that.
We
don't know what we're facing against yet.
You move forward to the door, which you see now is sort of like a 2-foot long hallway. And then there's a 6-inch wide gap that opens into darkness outside of the hallway. And then 6 inches ahead, past the gap, another 2-foot hallway that seems to open into a room very similar to the one you were just in. Another pentagon. This one is filled with an acidic stench. There's another exit on the far side. The walls of this room are also covered with riveted sheets of iron. Here, the pockmarked stone floor has a large puddle of gray slime in the middle of it. There are friezes along each wall just beneath the ceiling depicting 5 black dragons. And right in the center of the room, just skirting the edge of that pile of slime, is a skeleton with an octagonal steel shaft coming up out of its head.
Man, what do these things mean? I don't know, but let's kill it, I guess.
You guys have proven time and time again that these are pretty easy to handle.
As long as there's no water.
As long as there's nothing. Yeah. So I'm just going to say you kill it.
Okay.
It clatters down into a pile of bones and you pick up the head and add it to your collection.
I guess.
One of you just has this like potato sack full of skulls. Again, this is another pentagonal room. There's the hallway you just came through. And then straight across on the opposite side of this pentagon is another door heading off west again.
Can I do like an investigate or something to see if Masterpiece maybe left anything behind that we could tell he went a certain way?
Yeah, absolutely. Do a survival check.
Okay. Jesus Christ. That's a 6.
15 for Lee.
Oh, there we go.
I'm interested in the room.
Sure.
This is like my heritage. These are all black dragons and I'm black dragonborn.
Before you do anything, I'm just going to let these guys know that they do not see any tracks.
Okay.
So I want to roll perception. Just curious about the room and I want to see what the room could tell me upon closer inspection.
Sure.
19.
You are looking around the room. You look up close to these dragons. You can see that in the friezes carved into the mouth of each dragon are these tiny little holes. Or drilled in.
How tiny?
Do you remember way back when you were first trying to enter the tomb?
Oh, like those gas holes?
Acid poison gas comes out kind of thing.
Okay, so little like finger size holes. Yeah. All right.
We just had to plug them up last time.
We didn't have to.
We did though.
Kinda.
Some of them.
What?
An unknown number of them.
I think we ended up plugging one. One single one.
All right. Well, I think Mora's ready to move on.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I don't see anything here for us.
Okay. You guys move on through the next door, through the west door again. And you can see that, again, there's sort of this like 2-foot long hallway coming out of this room and then a gap of about 6 inches all the way along the side and the ceiling and the floor of this room looking out into like darkness. And now that you're kind of away from the sprinkler, you can just hear that there's sloshing water out there. You cross over into the next chamber, which is a long hallway, which comes to another room.
More changes shape to look like Leanne.
Looking good.
You come into a larger room. It's about 25 feet by 20 feet in size. There's a 4-foot-high, 7-foot-wide iron lectern in the middle of this rusty iron-plated room.
What's a lectern?
I was going to ask that too.
Almost think of it like a pedestal or like a dais that somebody would do a speech at. But it's much wider than that. It's almost like a big control panel. In fact, set into the top of this lectern is a gold lever with a star-shaped handle, 2 dials in red and blue, and 2 buttons just above them in the same color. On the far wall from you, there are wall engravings behind the control panel show 5 groups of circles. 1 group of 3 circles, another group of 3 circles, a 3rd group of 3 circles, 4th, 5. Each of them beneath those groups have a small crystal embedded in the wall under them. The crystal under the configuration labeled 3 glows bright green. There's 3 6-inch diameter rusty iron pipes jut from the wall above the engravings. And as you're looking at these controls, wondering, what does all this do? You hear this voice in your head.
All of us?
All of you. And it says, hey, who are you guys? We'll see you in 2 weeks. If you enjoyed the show and want to support what we do, number one way is to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Furthermore, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Share our new episodes on social media. Visit the House of Bob merch website on Etsy for House of Bob zines, dice trays, art prints, and more. And by joining the House of Bob Discord server to hear all the new episodes 3 days early. Artwork for this episode was by Sean Makes of Instagram.com/SeanMakes. Audio production was provided by Astronomic Audio, the 100% Canadian-owned and operated podcast editing service that makes your big ideas sound even bigger. Music was produced by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. House of Annihilation is made possible by our Patreon supporters. Sylvia Douglas, Luke Conroy, and Volt. Thank you. And if you'd like to be part of making this podcast possible, visit patreon.com/houseofbobcast.
I approach Horik's dead body.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
There he is.
Amen. And that's what I say.